Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Sing it, Marvin. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We got some fun entertainment news coming up for you in just a little bit. We'll get into some other cool topics as well. I want to make sure that we touch on this one. Unusual 911 calls of 2024. I think that's
always
a good,
fun.
It's a good Monday one, right?
Yeah.
That'll be fun. That's all coming up for you. But it's a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means.
Something good.
Now that you can hear me, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR for this Monday, January 13th. We are in the heart of winter, as this weather tells us, which means from day to day, it could swing be from snowing to sleeting to cold or like Arctic. With the chill in the air, it's a good time to find ways to warm up.
Yes, indeed. This is the time of this time of year is a great time for soups and stews, and one of my favorites, chili.
We already did an entire episode on chili, guys.
You're right, James. We did. That's why we're turning our attention to hot beverages.
Mocha it is.
Well, that you're not far off. According to Innova Marketing Insights.com, per capita consumption of hot coffee is the highest. Hot tea per capita consumption is 1/10 of hot coffee consumption. Per capita consumption of hot chocolate is relatively low. About half of U.S. consumers drink hot drinks. So only half of us out there are drinking something warm.
Interesting.
Hot coffee is the most popular, followed by hot tea and then hot cocoa. U.S. consumers also drink hot coffee most often, nearly half reporting drinking hot coffee every day.
Guilty.
I can't start my morning without it. About one in six U.S. consumers consume hot tea every day. Older generations in the U.S. are most likely to consume hot coffee, of which mocha. So mocha combines two of the best worlds, right? It's a combination of hot chocolate and coffee. So you cover most people there. Hot tea is popular among millennials and Gen Z in the U.S., while hot chocolate is consumed more by millennials than any other generation.
Whoa. Wow. Well, that's interesting.
I just had some hot chocolate last night. It was amazing. The only thing that was better was my mocha coffee this morning.
Did you have the hot chocolate after like being outside?
Yeah.
See, and that it's never better than after you're cold. Exactly. You come in, get the hot chocolate, and it's perfect. Yeah.
Well, and that's what mocha is. It's chocolate coffee.
That's basically.
Can never go wrong with chocolate.
It really is, and I don't care. It is so much the way the coffee is meant to be to me and my taste buds. That differs for everybody,
of course.
But if that's all the only if they said we're getting rid of all coffee but mocha, I'd be fine. with that.
Well, mocha, the nice thing there is that they found that coffee helps enhance the flavor of chocolate, which is why you can put it in brownies and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it makes perfect sense that you would have a mocha, because you get that enhanced flavor.
Of course, they are related to the coffee bean and the cocoa bean. Mm-hmm. They're actually very similar to each other. So, but yes, they are. But even within these beverages, there are, of course, many varieties. Mm-hmm. When it comes to hot coffee, you can have it like I like it, black, or you can have it, as my father-in-law says, tainted with cream or sugar. You can also get lattes, cappuccino, mochas, flavored, etc.
That's a great line. I want to steal that. That's so good. Tainted.
That's what he's been telling me, because that's how I have my coffee. I have to have something in my coffee because I tell him I drink flavor, not coffee.
Yeah.
So he tells me I taint my coffee.
That's awesome. That's a great
coffee
line.
Has flavor. I don't know what you're talking about.
Not to mention the many flavors and recipes for hot chocolate and the plethora of tea options from green to black to flavor profiles.
These may be the most popular hot drink options, but they are not the only ones that are out there. One of my favorites from childhood is hot apple cider. And this weekend I actually had the chance to make some. I was on a retreat with a whole bunch of youth, and we bought some apple cider from the store, and you can easily just heat that up and have it that way. I added a little bit of cinnamon in it to just give it a little bit more spice and warmth to it. But I found a great recipe on the Taste of Home website for warmed spiced cider punch. So it sounds absolutely delicious, and it's perfect for a party or hosting a dinner. In a 3-quart slow cooker, combine 4 cups of apple cider or unsweetened apple juice, 2¼ cups of water, 1 can, which is 6 ounces of frozen frozen orange juice concentrate thawed. Don't thaw it in this. Have it thawed already. 3/4 teaspoons ground nutmeg and 3/4 teaspoons ground ginger. Place 3 whole cloves and 2 cinnamon sticks in a double thickness of cheesecloth. It makes it easier to pull it out once you've used it. Bring all the corners of the cloth and tie the straight to form a bag. Place the bag in a slow cooker with everything else. Cover and cook on low for 4 to 5 hours or until heated through. Remove and discard the spice bag. Garnish with orange slices and additional cinnamon sticks if you would like.
Wow. Well,
doesn't that sound yummy?
That's not bad, because I'm not the biggest apple cider fan, but it'd be interesting to try this out and see if the orange juice does make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to try that. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be very a lot of fun. I would get 2 steps into that and be it just all fall apart. There's no way. I do love anything. One, I love trying different, like something that you've been having since you were a kid and a new version of it or a different version of it. It can be a lot of fun, and I think that's something that everybody should try.
Mm-hmm.
But I love things where you're making it and you get to feel like a mad scientist.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that. That's fun. That's just fun.
Your slow cooker becomes your cauldron.
Yeah, that's
right.
You're
making your, and believe it or not, this month is Potion Day. There is a national day of Potion Day. So make something like this and you're making your little potion. You know, and it's great to be able to utilize your slow cooker for more than just one day.
Right,
you know,
exactly,
We often think of it for our meals. Why not our beverages?
Hey,
so this
sounds,
is something great to,
it's awesome.
You can start it in the morning, keep it on low, you know, for that 4 to 5 hours, and switch it over to warm. And when you come home after a cold day when the temperature is below zero, you can come to a nice warm cup of just delicious
cider.
Right?
Warms your soul.
Cider. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I also found a recipe at the same website, tasteofhome.com, that I'm very curious about. It's mulled Dr. Pepper.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. I'm not the biggest fan of warm soda. Ever. But maybe if it's part of this kind of a recipe, it might be okay. So for this one, it looks really, really easy. You simply put 8 cups of Dr. Pepper. Now, that's about 5 1/3 cans or 64 ounces, which is just a little bit less than a 2-liter bottle of Dr. Pepper, 1/4 cup packed brown sugar, 1/4 cup lemon juice, 1/2 teaspoon ground allspice, 1/2 teaspoon whole cloves, 1/4 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon ground nutmeg. 3 cinnamon sticks, which are about 3 inches long, and you put all of that into a 3-quart slow cooker. Cover and cook on low for about 2 hours or until heated through. You discard the cloves and the cinnamon sticks, and then you've got your warmed Dr. Pepper, your mulled Dr. Pepper.
That sounds fascinating. I'm trying to figure out how someone was like, they have such a this love of Dr. Pepper. Like, I got to find new ways to drink Dr. Pepper because there's just not enough. So let's warm it up.
Well, and it
adds some stuff to it.
But. If soda's not sweet enough on its own, and we all know how much sugar is in soda already, they're asking us to add more. So this is going to be a nice, sweet, warm drink for you.
That'll make your teeth on edge.
Yeah.
Well, you could always try it with non-sugar. So get diet Dr. Pepper and use like stevia or Splenda or something like that instead of the actual sugar.
Right.
Because I know that Splenda. Splenda actually makes a brown sugar.
Oh,
it's
that's right.
It's a little more expensive, but it is no sugar. So you could always look for that brown sugar and use that instead of regular packed brown sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for something that can warm you up in more than one way, there's always the adult drinks like mulled wine, hot buttered rum, or hot toddies. So full disclosure, I didn't even know what a hot toddy was. So I had to do a little research. According to acoupleofcooks.com, love that name. The hot toddy is a mixed drink made of liquor, hot water, and honey, often made with lemon, spices, or tea. The drink originated in British-occupied India. Taddy was a Hindi word that meant drink made from fermented palm sap. By 1786, the word taddy was defined in English as a drink with liquor, hot water, and sugar. The drink became popular in England and Scotland using Scotch whiskey. Then spread to the Americas, where rum and brandy were available spirits, and and used in the hot toddy. By the mid-1800s, Americans were prescribing the hot toddy as a cure for the common cold.
Of course they were.
I will take that cure, thank
you. Any excuse to drink, that's what it was.
Yes.
Many hot toddy recipes use tea as the base, but the simplest and tastiest form of this drink uses hot water. Here are the ingredients if you need, you'll need for this hot toddy recipe. You'll need whiskey, rum, or brandy, some honey or pure maple syrup, lemon, hot water, and the best way the hot water, the way the hot water opens the flavors of the whiskey, brandy, or rum makes it deliciously easy to sip.
And coming off the heels of the holiday season, don't forget about wassail.
Wassail.
Countryliving.com shares, although these days, particularly any mulled cider recipe could be called wassail, the fact is that during the heyday of Yuletide wassailing, the beverage was actually quite different. Though at its base, it was a mulled hot drink involving cider, traditional wassail, calling for hard cider, which is much less sweet than the fresh stuff. It was also often combined with ale and sherry and almost always had roasted apples floating in it.
Oh, okay.
To help fortify the drinkers and perhaps to add some much-needed protein, whipped eggs were also added, which created a light, fluffy, foam-like topping. It's a lot less sweet than today's modern mulled cider or mulled wine recipes, but it's absolutely delicious.
Wow. So that's where it comes from. They liked it so much, they wrote songs about wassailing.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Times, though.
I feel like that's one of those things every winter I relearn what that word
with wassail is. Yeah. It's very, very important. So
all of these I would try, Beth. Yeah. All these sound really good. These were some really fun finds.
They really are. And acoupleofcooks.com has at least 12 different recipes. And then I found another website that has 45 different winter cocktails. Jeez. So if you're looking for the adult version of them.
That's right.
You can find that online.
I got one for you. Okay. And I mentioned this a little while ago, the Tom and Jerry mix. And I think it's more of a regional thing. I know where I grew up in northern Minnesota, it was you could find the batter in stores. I mean, they would just bring it out for the holiday season.
Okay.
And it was very popular. And when I worked at the convention center that I worked at in the bar department, we would always bring it out that time of year because there'd be holiday parties that people would have there. And they would say, bring out the Tom and Jerry mix. So here's a recipe to actually make the batter and then how you actually mix it together. It's actually not that hard.
Okay. So was it brought out by a cat and a mouse?
No. Actually,
one of us had to make that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. Actually, when I was reading a little bit about the history, it was the man who did it. His name was Jerry Thomas. Tom and Jerry. That's how they got the name of it. That's the guy who invented it. So what you're going to need is 8 whole eggs. You're going to need about 1.5 cups of granulated sugar, a tablespoon of cornstarch, an ounce of gold rum. Now, I didn't realize there was actual liquor in the batter. I didn't realize there was in there. And then for your spices, you'll need 1/2 teaspoon of ground cloves, 1/2 teaspoon of ground allspice, because, it's Christmas, and 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon as well. That'll just mix up the batter like you would any kind of batter, and just refrigerate it to keep it cool because it's got eggs in it. So make sure that you keep it good. And then when you want to actually mix the drink, it's pretty easy. You just take about 1 ounce of the batter, put it in a mug of some sort. You want about 1.5 ounces of brandy, and then fill the rest with hot water, and there is your Tom and Jerry's.
Okay.
Now you can take out the brandy and have it just as, because it's actually quite tasty, the batter itself, and just add hot water to it, and you can do a non-alcoholic version of it. Of course, there's that little bit of rum in the batter, but not that much.
So it's all negotiable, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's a very tasty, at least the batter that I had back in the day is very tasty.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, no matter your preference, a nice hot beverage on a cold day not only can make you feel warm, can always make you feel warm and cozy, and we'd like to help you cozy up to a new We'd like to cozy up to some new clientele. So you can do this by becoming a sponsor of our show.
If you're interested in more information about how to make that happen, just give us a call at 715-424-1300 and speak with Pam. She will put you in touch with Ashley to work out all the details.
That number again is 715-424-1300, 424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah. Very nice.
Another great episode. Nice work, Beth. Yeah,
excellent.
Nice work.
Perfect timing on that today.
Absolutely.
Be listening next Monday for another edition of The Kitchen's Open right here in the 9 o'clock spot on WFHR.
Tell me something good.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic one out there. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday and kicking your week off with us.
Mm-hmm.
Get into our schedule and some good stories of the day in a little bit, but let's go ahead and dive right into some entertainment news right now. And over the holidays, Will Ferrell appeared at an LA Kings hockey game dressed as Buddy the Elf.
I saw the pictures of that. Mm-hmm.
But this was not the Buddy that you know from the movies. This was mm-hmm. Buddy unshaven and very unhappy looking, and he was drinking a beer with a cigarette and all that and everything. So why did he do it? Well, just because, as it turns out.
Oh, wow.
Because he could.
On the Kelsey Brothers New Heights podcast, Will said, quote, "The reaction was insane. Like, what is he doing? Is he promoting something? But occasionally, I just like to do weird things like this to stir it up." And FYI, it was a candy cigarette, by the way. Just
not real, because you can't smoke in the arena.
Yeah, no. But one of the things that came of this too was a lot of the charities that Will works for, him being able to bring attention to those. Mm. Which this was before, of course, the fires out there, mm-hmm. and that has really kind of actually helped out in some ways, because a lot of those involve devastation from previous fires.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know, man. I would make one of the worst celebrities ever, because I would be doing this kind of stuff all the time. I don't know. I'd be messing with paparazzi every chance I get. I'd be crashing weddings. There's a reason I'm probably not famous.
I love the idea of, like, oh, that bailoff. There he is again, doing this stuff.
There would be, like, some states would invent laws. Just like, James comes by and can't crash
it's
a wedding.
It's the bailoff law.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's
I love that stuff. Idea.
Yeah, good on him. It seems like it's a lot of fun.
That's I got to give him credit for that. That's pretty good.
Timothy Chalamet will be hosting Saturday Night Live on January 25th with musical guest Timothy Chalamet.
Huh?
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Only 41 people in the show's 50-year history have ever hosted and been their own musical guest.
It's only happened 41 times? I didn't realize that. Wow.
That took me off guard. I did not think about it. Wow. I don't know. I've wondered about it, but I've never mm-hmm. thought about it before, what the actual number was. That's insane. And until now, only a handful weren't primarily singers. Mm. The legend Lily Tomlin did this in 1975 and 1983.
Okay.
Desi Arnaz in 1976. And Gary Busey in 1979.
Huh? Gary Busey?
Not where I thought. I would have thought Shatner might have been his own musical guest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Has he ever been on Saturday Night Live? He's got to have been. Yeah.
I'm almost positive he hosted. Yeah. I'm almost positive he did, because he got the famous Star Trek scene.
Oh, that's right. Bit. Yeah, the convention one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, where he just goes up there and, what are you doing? What is wrong with you people? It's one of my favorite sketches ever, and it was way ahead of the time where you
exactly.
get away with that stuff now.
Yeah, right.
Of course, Chalamet has been getting rave reviews for his singing in the Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown. He's also nominated for an Oscar, but there's no word in if he's singing Dylan on SNL or not.
Well, that would make sense if he pulled out a couple old Dylan tunes, yeah.
Dave Chappelle is going to be hosting the week before, so you got two pretty great hosts back-to-back right there.
Wow.
Timothy's been on the show before, and just a complete, like, just what do you want me to do? I'll do it and just go all in. Like, I think even in sketches where he's not, it's not a funny sketch, he's killing it. Mm-hmm. He is so darn good at this, mm-hmm. And incredibly comfortable on that stage, like few young actors I've seen.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. I got in my Oscar and my SAG awards last weekend, did put him on the list. I'm not going to say who I voted for to win, but I did put him in my he has to be on the list kind of thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's good to see him nominated. I don't know if he'll win, but it was cool to see him nominated for mm-hmm. this performance. Let's see. Speaking of the Oscars, does the Academy have something against 90s kids?
Probably.
Yeah. Only two actors born after 1990 have won Oscars.
Wow. Really?
Isn't that something?
Wow.
And that might change this year, just for, mm-hmm. heads up on that. But Jennifer Lawrence won Best Actress in 2012 for Silver Linings Playbook. Mm-hmm. She was born August 15th, 1990. And Adriana DeBosa won for Best Supporting Actress in 2022 for West Side Story. She was born January 25th, 1991.
Huh. Ooh.
Nominations for this year's Oscars will be announced on the 19th. The 90s kids who are expected to be nominated include Selena Gomez, Ariana Grande, Margaret Qualley, and Timothy Chalamet.
Okay.
Who we just mentioned.
Jeez.
But This is something that I think you can go a couple of different directions with.
Right.
But let me just get out of the way. Yes. 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 The Academy is incredibly biased. But it's not just 90s kids. It's younger. It's this younger age group. Mm-hmm. It's this age group.
You're so right.
And this is something that is actually talked about when you're putting your votes together. Hey, have an open mind and blah, 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 and all these things. And then we, after year after year, it just is like this.
Well, if they're actually saying that to the voters, it's like, remember, you know, you can vote for someone under the age of 40, right? Yeah.
Specifically 34.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. 1990 and later.
And to be fair, this is a little bit of society, too. Mm. The person that you don't take seriously until they put their glasses on. Then I'll, oh, wait a minute. Okay. Oh, this person knows what they're talking about. It's the old thing in where we, does this make you smarter? And insert whatever you want. Glasses, pulling your hair back, or whatever it might be.
Right.
What is it? If you're in college, you have to have the shoulder.
You have the elbow patches on your coat, right? Yes.
You have a smart professor if they have elbow patches. That's the way you could tell. Forget about degrees.
Yeah, who cares about
anybody
that?
Anybody can have a degree up. Do you have elbow patches?
You look right. That's right.
But it is something we do in society, and we especially do in entertainment.
Entertainment and politics. Mm-hmm. Both of them are notorious
name
for that. Yeah.
And one, guess what? That can be changed, both by entertainment and by politics. Mm-hmm. We make those choices.
That's right.
We can decide those things.
I agree.
A lot of that we decide with our scrolling and our viewing choices.
Mm, yes. That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that is becoming more of the power of the people.
Right.
Yeah.
But still, only two. From the night, that's insane to me.
Really insane.
That is just
really
crazy. Insane.
Especially if I were to go through the list of actors who fits in.
Yeah.
And I name you actor after actor after actor. You're like, how did they not win? Or how have they not been nominated? Or something like that. There's a lot of them.
Because they're younger than 35.
That's it.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
They can't run for president, apparently. That's
right,
why.
Right, yeah. Before we go to break, I did want to make a programming note and a thank you at the same time. I wanted to just thank the audience and thank my co-host, my producer, my partner in production here, and Seth Habhager, and the great show that we have been able to put together in Director's Cut.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of fun with that show. We've been able to bring on some great guests. Mm-hmm. We got to win an award from that
show.
We
won an award. We may win another.
Because
we had thrown them in there, too. But anyway.
We've had a lot of fun with that show. But like most shows, everything could use an update, a new coat of paint sometimes, especially if that show is named after a show that is like 80 other shows named it.
There are plenty of shows out there named Director's Cut. Yes, that is correct.
Something that maybe you should do before you name the show, James. Maybe do a little homework on the name of the show. I digress.
To be fair, which nice little thing there. To be fair, we actually went through many names. We were trying to figure out what to call it, so that was kind of the default what we ended up with. But
being the creative, incredibly creatives that Seth and I are, with no boundaries in our brains and the way they work and everything, we are so smart that when coming up with the new name for the show, we went to Melissa.
We went to Melissa.
Yeah.
That is how smart we are.
Yep.
Yes. Just the first to respond to your text message, James.
But you had the right one.
Well,
you had the right one.
And she gave us like a list,
Yes.
She had like four choices on there, and they were all pretty good because she incorporated at least one of the words from the old show, which, continuity makes sense. See, I'm telling you, she's on the ball.
So going forward into the new year and ahead, we are going to be changing the name to Director's Playhouse.
Yeah.
Which is so much more fitting.
It really is.
With that, we, of course, want to send out an open invitation to all creatives, everybody out there.
Yep.
And especially if you think you aren't a creative. You're exactly who we're looking for. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a musician or you're an artist or writer, any of the above, we want you. Mm-hmm. But especially, really would love to get on more and more you woodcarvers out there or, curlers or any kind of like obscure thing. You might think, well, that doesn't fit. That's a sport. No, it fits.
It's
entertainment. It's entertaining.
It's a playhouse. You guys can do whatever you want.
Well, see, exactly.
I was right on your, I'm surfing your wave, Melissa, because I was like, playhouse can mean two things, right? A house that does plays or a house to have fun in, right? To play, literally play. And like James, you nailed it on the on the head right there. Exactly. We don't care. If it's fun, we want to hear about it, right?
Mm-hmm. We are looking to kick off the show with some of our favorite people. We are looking to have Pam Hilke and Chuck Gennaro joining mm-hmm. us for interviews as we awesome. Continue our civic series. We'll also, of course, be having our team around here mm-hmm. being interviewing them in the next yeah. couple of months. A lot of great things coming up with the show. Reach out to us. You can email any of our staff, james.maloff@civicmedia.us, or Seth's email.
Seth@civicmedia.us, because I'm cool.
Because his last name is ridiculous.
I can't help that.
And, of course, you can reach out to Melissa, whether it is with great stories out there or, mm-hmm. or any of the above, Melissa.
Mm-hmm. Yep, melissa.k@civicmedia.us.
Or even go to our website. You can contact us there, too, at WFHR.com.
And again, thank you to all of the guests we've had on and all of the people that are out there listening to the show. Mm-hmm. You can catch it every Sunday. Yep. We'll have some great episodes coming up for you, everybody. Spread the word about these shows. And just like The Kitchen's Open or Seth Faces the Music or Unlabeled, all these shows have no sponsor.
That's right.
They are just Ooh. Waiting for you, everybody. And I cannot tell you how... Mm-hmm. Ask anybody who has advertised with us how great it is to advertise with mm-hmm. us. anything you ever hear about us, please reach out to us and ask. And we would love to fill in those blanks.
We can answer your questions.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have been here supporting not just Wisconsin Rapids, but Nakusa, Port Edwards, Plover, mm-hmm. this whole Wisconsin area.
Stevens Point. Doesn't matter.
80 plus years Marshfield. We've been supporting this area.
Exactly.
We want all those areas to reach out to our sales mm-hmm. team and be a part of the team.
Yep.
Well, you can hear some of our teammates coming up here in the break. We got our news, our sports, and our teammates coming up for you. We'll be back with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Always throws me off. I think it's a different song. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us and kicking off your week with us. We're going to get into some good stories of the day in our schedule in just a little bit. But I've been hanging on to this one for the three of us to get back together, and I thought this would be fun.
All right.
We have got unusual 911 calls of 2024.
Always good.
One of our last wrap-ups of last year.
There we go.
Was this one and some of the fun calls. And part of the reason I like this topic and I like bringing this one up is just to have fun with it, but also for us to do something we don't get to do nearly enough and shout out all of our dispatchers out there.
Yes.
Big,
that's
big,
excellent idea.
Big time thank you to all of our dispatchers out there. Every one of you mm-hmm. we greatly appreciate. Have no idea what we would do without you.
Yeah. Tough job. Very, very important job. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So important.
And it feels like, and I don't know about you guys, I've known a couple of people who do this for a living and are incredibly good at it mm-hmm. and just gifted at this yes. kind of thing. And I don't think we say that nearly enough, but just very good at mm-hmm. it. Police in Saskatchewan, Canada, released a list of the top 10 reasons not to call 911 based on incidents from 2024. The Saskatchewan posted this video on Facebook featuring operators from its Divisional Operation Communications Center giving a rundown of the top 10. So similar to David Letterman's famous top 10 list, but this done with, you know, some community members and people that were working for the city and stuff.
Very good.
It's a fun idea. Mm-hmm. The number 10 spot on the list had to do with a not-so-tech savvy individual who called 911 to advise that they didn't recognize someone on their social media friends list.
Wow.
That's a different one. That's different.
Okay.
Hey, I don't know who this person is on my friends list on Facebook.
Could you find out who this guy is. Yeah. Shady looking character.
Another caller told operators their parents were forcing them to clean their room. Okay.
Stop my parents from making me clean my room.
Number 8 caller reported a fox was, quote, wandering the neighborhood and scaring a local cat. That's different.
That darn fox. Man. Oh, that's funny.
It was cats and not the hen house. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The number 7 caller reported bees inside their home.
Bees!
Yikes.
No, you know what? I have screamed that at one point in my life. It's not fun when you have bees pouring in to your home.
I imagine. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We can always turn to Nick Cage and not the bees.
There you go. Yes. Just play it over and over. is one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen in my life.
It's supposed to be horrifying, and it's hilarious.
And the special effects aren't really caught up to the time.
Terrible.
So the fake bees are just, oh, yeah. The number six caller asked for police help to unlock their cell phone. Now, well, how did they call?
That's a great question.
Yeah. The only number you can call when your phone is locked.
There you go.
Well, I got no one else to turn to. I guess I had to call him. Yeah.
I can't get a hold of my kid. And number five caller told operators someone had thrown their ice cream on the ground. Oh, okay.
Well, that one, I mean, that's actually legit.
That's a foul.
That's just wrong.
Well, and
it's like taking candy from a baby.
Ice cream abuse.
Did you not learn anything from Eddie Murphy's great stand-up special, Delirious? I got some ice cream. I got some ice cream. And you can have one. One of the psych. One of the ice cream. And then it drops on the floor. Then it falls. He tried to teach us. Don't do that.
He did.
Number four call involved an individual who reported their cat was being mean.
Dumb mean cat.
And asked for a police officer to, quote, come and help with the situation.
Oh, wow.
Afraid of your own cat.
How mean?
That's not good.
How mean was that
cat?
That's
a mean sounding cat, man.
Also, what kind of cat do you have?
Caller number three asked for help with a malfunctioning washing machine.
Because, dude, look, the Maytag guy's just sitting there, you know, nothing to do. Yeah. Come on, call the Maytag guy.
Yeah, it's gotta,
don't call the police.
Got to give him something.
He's got something to do.
And the number two caller requested help with a math problem as they didn't want to fail their test in the morning. Now, this is done in another state, but we had this happen here in Wisconsin recently.
Oh, really? Oh.
Where we had an officer who was called, a young kid called 911 for help on a math problem, and the officer actually helped them out. While also telling the kid, hey, this isn't the number to call.
No, this is not for emergencies like that. Yeah.
But this department, and like a lot of departments around the country, took this opportunity not only to do a PSA about, hey, don't call 911, but a great spin into social media into also promoting, hey, you know, we're just like regular people, just like everybody else, and the badge doesn't change that, and treat us like anybody, you know. It's just a really just, again, I will keep saying this, nobody is doing social media better than police and sheriff's departments. Nobody.
They're good.
It's incredible. So good. There are people right now paying millions to marketing people.
To
marketing.
Do that very thing. Yep.
Yeah. Well, these guys, also with all the other things that they have on, and I say guys as in guys and girls, all the things they have on their plate, and they're killing it on social media. Doing a great job. Yeah.
Nice.
And the number one call on the list came from a resident who reported someone had apparently taken their tambourine during a party.
The horror. Man.
I mean, that is like the closest one to...
like an actual crime?
Something you would report.
Some stolen property, right?
Stolen property. But no, they have it on the other side of the living room and they won't give it back.
Just as a side note on this, misuse of 911 can carry a fine of up to $1,400 in Saskatchewan.
Ouch. Ooh. Yeah. Don't want to do that.
Don't want to mess with that.
Don't want to mess with that.
I think it's not a joke. It's not a prank.
No.
Don't do it unless you need, because that's taking up resources for people who have actual emergencies that need help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is a lot more expensive than a tambourine. That is a lot more expensive. You just get yourself a tambourine.
Even if it's a green tambourine.
Nicely done. One of the touch on this one too, and I think that this can be a little macabre. I understand that, but I think it also, just if you take a step back, can be kind of an interesting question. If you live to be 80 years old, you'll have lived 29,220 days.
Wow!
You probably spent 230 of those hours sleeping, 90,000 hours working, 32,000 hours eating and drinking, and 1,000 hours trying to untangle knots.
Oh my God,
that's
really?
That's an actual stat.
That makes sense. I can see that, yeah.
Now that almost everything about our lives can be tracked, someone asked the internet, what stats would you like to see after your death? And here are some interesting responses. I think these actually can have kind of some fun, but while also some just kind of perspective to them.
I see it.
How many times I'd make someone feel good about themselves without knowing it?
See, now that would be cool, because you've probably done it times where you have no clue. that you've done something like that, which is really cool. Because you've experienced that before, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we all have, where we've had that feeling from someone else, and they don't know it, that kind of thing. So that'd be interesting to find out, yeah.
Number of people who were attracted to me while I had no idea. Yeah.
I don't know if I want to know that one.
I don't know if I want to know that one.
No.
I don't know. I feel like that's going to devastate me. I literally don't think anybody in human history has ever been attracted to me. So that whole list is going to be a surprise to me.
Well, I would say that's wrong because I think that's impossible. But I don't want to know.
I do have three kids.
I don't want to know. That's true. I mean,
sorry.
Someone at some point, James.
The top five songs I'd listened to, plus how many times I'd heard each.
Oh wow!
It's like
that would be cool.
That would be cool.
I'm sorry. Just being honest with everybody, that may be my number one. That may be like I would be fascinated by that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be kind of interesting.
Imagine those times when you get on a kick of like one song and you listen to it like several times in a short period of time. I would just love to see how that adds up.
That a lot.
That would be fascinating.
And how devastated I am when Kung Fu Fighting is like in the top five.
I miss my iPod that would tell me how many times I've listened to something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the amount of time spent listening.
Number of times I made someone laugh.
Yeah. That would be a good stat.
How cool would that be?
That would be.
I
made them laugh this many times.
Or laugh at.
Does it matter?
Oh, yeah. I wonder. Yeah.
Does it matter? I don't know.
How many times I'd used each letter of the alphabet? Whoa.
Okay. That's too much.
I understand this is all make-believe and everything, but that's not fair to the make-believe person that has to like go comb through and come up with that stat.
Yes. This theoretical person, man, that's just, we're putting too much on their plate, you know.
And this top one of these is kind of interesting. How many times I almost died without realizing it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that would be kind of a cool stat.
That would be interesting.
At the end of your life.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to know that now.
No. And I want footage. I want to see the, because I don't remember half of them, right? Yeah.
Not a stat, but I want a gallery of pictures where I'm visible in other people's photos without my knowing.
Unknown photo bombing.
Yeah.
That's an interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Anytime you've been on vacations, tourists around you.
Yeah.
But now you can get taken out of the picture, you know, with all the stuff you can do with pictures now.
Photoshop.
You can just Photoshop right out of there, you know?
I want to hear from you guys. Want to hear from the audience. We'll keep this one going throughout the week. What are some stats you'd like to see? That book at the end and all that. I think it's
how many
question.
Times I blinked.
Yeah.
No. Pointless.
Such a useless stat.
I know.
I think that's a big part of this. I think that's a big part of like going into this and coming up with your own questions is just, you know, this isn't one of those ones you have to overthink. How many times did I crack my knuckles? How many times did I, you know?
How many times was I awkward?
Yeah. Oh, great one. Oh, that's good.
Awkward.
Oh, that's good.
Because I like living, you know, awkward moments. That's what I want to think about now.
Well, you know, sometimes they just happen and then you feel bad about them. So,
how many times have I shoveled? You know, how many times
that would be an interesting one.
How many times have I made someone smile?
So good.
I got one for James specifically because you've been on the radio for so long. What word have you used the most?
Ooh.
And I'm not saying like the A is that kind of stuff. I'm talking
filler
about
words.
Yeah, exactly. Like an actual word that you've used the most through your radio career. That would be fascinating.
Or most frequently used phrase.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Low hanging fruit.
That would get my vote. Yeah.
That would be up there. I do have the for word I've used the most in radio. Sheboygan. It's definitely that. Yeah.
Perfect.
We will take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show.
You say yes, I say no. You say stop, and I say go, go, go.
We got to get going, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We're going to take you to the top of the hour, wrap up our day. We do have some good stuff on the way for you. We'll get into that in a moment. But we'd like to wrap up with some good stories of the day, and I got one to get into right away. When a young skateboarder saw some kids picking on a feral cat, he wanted to stop them, although he didn't stand a chance against so many. So instead, 8-year-old Zayn Berry used diplomacy, trading his skateboard away for a promise that they would leave the animal alone.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it worked. And, and now the kitten is his best friend.
Oh, sweet.
That's awesome.
And according to Zane's mom, the fortunate feline knew it from the start. Quote, he just fell in love with it, and you could see it. You could see the cat just loved him.
Aww.
After the Berries took the cat home, they realized he needed urgent medical attention. His breathing came in difficult, so they were able to check him out, and he's okay. They're calling him Peaches.
Nice.
Cute.
And thankfully, one medical procedure that with an infected eye, Peaches is home with them and enjoying a good life.
Wow. Aww. So he traded in a skateboard for a new friend. How about that? That's really cool.
Their local Humane Society is promoting this story, putting it out there, making sure that everybody hears about this and everything. And again, this kid is 8.
Yes. Marvelous.
This kid is 8 and stood up to his peers and kids that were older than him with no adults around, nobody else, came up with this all on his own. Yeah. This is one of the more braver situations you're going to hear today, in all honesty. Yeah. Put yourself in those shoes of that kid.
Be honest with yourself, too. Yeah.
And again, this is a braver kid than most of the billionaires in the world right now that are all laying on their belly or laying on their back and just showing their belly and please don't hurt me and all this. This kid's braver than every one of them put together. Yeah. Like, that's a pretty cool story. And you can find that story at goodnewsnetwork.org, goodnewsnetwork.org.
Cool.
Let's dive into our schedule before we get to some good things going on in our area. Great stuff lined up for you today. Join us for Matt and Air on Air coming up from 10 to noon. Jane and Greg going to have some fun for you today. They've been waiting all weekend to get at it, and they're going to have some fun. And we're going to have a good one lined up for you today for Midday Magazine. We kick off the week strong. In part one, we're talking to our friends at Savor the Arts. We will not only have our good friend Sally Kistner, executive director over there with us, and Lee Peck from the ODC is going to be with us as well. Hoping to have Eric Brittenocker, hopefully, from the pack. But we're also going to be joined by comedian Jeff Allen.
Oh, Jeff Allen's calling in. Yes. Awesome.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I've been looking forward to talking with
Jeff. Man, they've got a great setup with this, with the ODC. And some, I mean, they'll talk about it, but it's really cool. So you got to listen to that. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get into that at 4 o'clock today. And then at 4:30, we're talking baseball, everybody.
Woo.
Rafters baseball here at the home of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters.
Hot stove.
New, we have Jake Adams, assistant general manager, and Connor Philippi, marketing and media manager, going to be joining us. We're going to get to know them a little bit.
Yeah. They're both new. Yeah.
We're going to be getting to know them, talking about the upcoming Rafters season, the schedule, the hot stove event, our new manager, some of the new faces, all of that as we get to know your Rafters at 4:30 today.
Cool.
That's going to be fun. We'll have a new Playmakers for you lined up. Plenty to talk about today. We'll be getting into that, and I want your venting about your Green Bay Packers, your Milwaukee Bucks. I want all of it. Mm-hmm. You can vent. It's a safe place that hour.
That's right.
You can call up and join us for that. And we'll be joined by Christina Arneson from Tri-Norris Ski Club.
Oh, very cool.
She's going to join us to talk a little bit about Nordic Day coming up in just a little bit.
Yeah, and we got snow now, too.
Love our friends at the Tri-Norris Ski Club and love when they're able to join us. It's going to be a fun show, and we'll lead you into at 6:05 the Greg Gard Show that'll be on today. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun. We got some great other local things I wanted to mention. Valentine's for Wisconsin Veterans is back up and running again. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is asking for folks to help us show our veterans how much we appreciate their service and sacrifice by sending Valentine's Day cards to veterans living in WDVA facilities.
Yes.
The Valentines are hand-delivered by staff, and please be sure to mail your cards no later than January 31st. And you can mail them at Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, Attention Veteran Valentines, P.O. Box 7843, P.O. Box 7843, Madison, Wisconsin, zip code 53707, 53707. If you need this again, we'll get it to you. Just email us or reach out to us, and we'll get it to you, everybody.
Yep. Big shout out to Tom Heiser for reminding us about that, too.
Yeah, this is the third year that they've done this. This is only the third year. And it does bring veterans a lot of joy to get these cards.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Seth, you got some stuff wanted to tell
us. Yeah, something we like to mention every year. The Port Edwards Basketball Alumni Games are on their way coming up. In fact, the girls, if you are an alumni of one of the girls' basketball teams, you can come tomorrow, January 14th. And then for the boys, January 16th. That is on Thursday. In fact, and we are going to be there on Thursday for the basketball games. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well on WIRI. But if you are an alumni basketball player and you would like to attend, you'll be given admission into the game. Be treated to an on-court introduction at halftime and an after-game social. Of course, please invite your teammates who may not see this, the announcement, or hear us talk about it here. Parents, tell your kids attending college or living out of the area. They love to have all the as many alumni as they can come to these games this week. So that's Tuesday and Thursday for Port Edwards basketball alumni.
It's going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good one. We do want to remind everybody, our friends at the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau have their new booklets out.
Yeah, the 2025 Visitor's Guides are out, hot off the presses, everyone. We got a whole bunch right here, so stop on by at the station during our normal business hours, 9 to 4 every weekday. And stop by, say hello to Pam while you're here, and pick up these great, beautiful, man, they always do such a great job with this. It's just this gorgeous Visitor's Guide for 2025.
Be sure to check those out, everybody. And again, at 4 o'clock today, we're going to be talking to our friends at Savor the Arts about the Jeff Allen Show coming to town here. Mm-hmm. And if you want tickets for that, you can get them at SavorTheArts.com. That is SavorTheArts.com. Be sure to get those tickets. And while you're at it, go ahead and get tickets for their February 20th show, Bachelors of Broadway, Gentlemen of the Theater, and, of course, the music of Billy Joel and Elton John starring Michael Cavanaugh. That is coming up in March.
Mm-hmm.
All incredibly great shows and great shows for you to be a part of. Go ahead and get your tickets for every one of those, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
And I did want to mention really quickly that our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center is bringing back one of our more popular things that we did over there. Men in the Kitchen was popular for many, many years. Well, now it is Chefs for Change.
Cool.
This is coming up February 27th, 5 o'clock at the Nakusa Community Center. This is one of our really, really well-celebrated events. We're going to be talking more about as we get closer to it. But I did want to let everybody know there's a great Facebook page you can sign up for and let them know that you're going to be there and attending. And we're also looking for sponsors for it and everything still. So
very good.
We've already gotten quite a few people attaching to this. It's a great one. It's going to be a really fun event. Mm-hmm. Really fun show. Great work today, you two.
You too, man.
Yeah,
you
too.
Have a good day. Sorry, Melissa. Have a good day, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.